And good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it good to be in God's house?
Yes.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And when you get there, I'd like to ask those that are able to please stand as I read from God's Word. Today I'm going to be preaching on changing your heart. Changing your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And you know, God, I pray that through this message, that God, if we need to change anything in our hearts or our lives, God, I pray that you will reveal that to us, that we can change it, Lord, because God, we want to walk with you. We want to be holy and blameless in your sight, Lord, and thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. But Father, there's still this human nature. Help us to get that out of the way so that we can live by the Spirit. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let everything come from you, dear God, through your Holy Spirit. Nothing from my thoughts or my own words or my own ideas, but God, let it all be from you. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's an old story that was written many, probably hundreds of years ago by an author. And the story is about a miserable old man. And you probably might know where I'm going with this story, because the movies normally come out around Christmas time, and the old man's name is Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge was a greedy old man. I mean, he was a kind of man who was very wealthy, and that's what he went after in life. He would rob and cheat people to gain more material possession, and he became so bitter, he would literally stay locked up in his office, and he was hateful and rude to everybody. And you know that in that story that was written, Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by three spirits during the night. And then, as you know, after the ghost of Christmas Future came and visited him, and he woke up and saw that he was alive, he knew that he had to make a change. And in the story it says, and my favorite movie, Alistair Sim plays Scrooge, and at the end the narrator is saying, and old Scrooge became one of the best people to all the town folk. And I thought, boy, you know, as I was going over the sermon this morning, when God put this on my heart, and I was thinking, there's so much in our lives we need to change. And you know, really, if we look down deep, you know, we're bound to find something that we need to get rid of. Because, you know, for me, I want to be close to God. I serve as a preacher. But you know, as I've told you, so many times we put preachers way up here on a pedestal and we expect them to perform flawlessly. But you know, we're all human. Preachers are not any better than anybody else. I've always told people, please look at me down here, because I do fail. I have human flaws, and I pray every day and ask God to help me to overcome the things in my life so that I could serve Him better. But the first point that I want to look at this morning is that God expects us to change. That's God expects us to. So in this scripture, that old things have passed away, behold, everything has become new. As a Christian, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, God expected a change. He wants a complete 360. When all things are made new, it means you're saying goodbye to the past. Now, there's a pastor friend of mine. His name's Donnie Colson. A lot of you might know him, might have even heard of him. But Donnie Colson was they called him Snake because he was an evil man. He was a drunk. He hated people. And Donnie told me that he walked into a revival service one night. And in that revival service, he got up out of his seat and was literally in tears, went down to the altar and gave up that old man. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he told me this, and I believe the guy. He said as he walked out of the church that night, he saw the old man that used to be him sitting in a chair begging him to take him back. And he said, there ain't no way that I wanted anything to do with what my life used to be like. Now, if you look back in the Bible, you look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a cheat. He was a scandalous guy. And if you remember the story in the Bible, Zacchaeus heard that Jesus had come to town and he wanted to see who Jesus was. So Zacchaeus, being a man of little stature, had to climb up in a sycamore tree. And as Jesus came and walked through town, he looks up in that tree and says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house to have fellowship with you. Now, isn't it amazing that here's a guy that nobody liked? Probably people wanted to stone him or kill him or something because of his history. And Jesus says, I want to come and have fellowship with you today. Now, why do you think that was? Because Jesus knew the heart of Zacchaeus. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus could change. And once Zacchaeus came down and brought the Lord into his house and had fellowship with him, Zacchaeus turned his life around and started to serve the Lord. And he gave everything back to the people that he had taken. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says Zacchaeus gave back more than he had taken. See, Zacchaeus had repented of his old ways and his life had been changed. And then you take a look at the life of Saul. Saul hated Christians. He murdered Christians. He didn't want nothing to do with them. And Saul had an encounter on the road to Damascus with the Lord. And God had asked Saul, why do you persecute me? What is it about me that you hate, basically? And from that very moment, the scales had formed over Saul's eyes. And when the scales had fallen from his eyes, Saul had became Paul. And he had a new course in life. And Paul became one of the greatest writers of the New Testament church. He became a preacher. So when God expects us to change, the moment you and I became Christian people, we were to take the old man and nail it to the cross, and we were to leave it there. God expects us to change, but he doesn't expect us to change under our own power. We do not have the power and authority on our own to make the changes necessary. We have to come to God, and we have got to lay everything before him. Each and every one of us, you know, God made us with our own personality, our own characteristics and traits. We're all the same. We're created in God's image. We're all equal. But every one of us is different in how God made us and who he made us to be. And we have to rely on God every day of our lives if we are going to walk in fellowship with him. I can't do it on my own. You know, some of the situations I've been in over the last, 34 years now that I've been in the ministry. When I was 19 years old and I got saved and I surrendered to the ministry finally, God opened up a door for me to preach, and I preached my first sermon. And after I preached that first sermon, I started experiencing spiritual attacks, things that I had never faced before. And I really thought, what have I gotten myself into? What is going on in my life? Why do I feel so rejected? And I found out the enemy was coming against me in every way that he could to stop what God wanted to do. And in order for me to change, I have to submit daily. I have to submit a lot during the day to God's will, for God's purpose, and for God's glory. And every day I have to nail that old flesh to the cross, and I have to ask the Lord to allow me to walk by the Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit, we walk in love, we walk in fellowship, we walk in divine joy when we're in the Spirit. And I'm thankful this morning that I got to meet Larry and Rebecca and their family. Because, you know, it is hard. I don't know what it's like to be. I've done missions work here in the country. You know, in the youth group. Now, I wasn't saved, but I went to church and I went on the youth trips. And I thought it was fun because we would go to different places and minister to people. But I cannot imagine what it's like to go to a third world country and give up the comforts of living here in America to go and serve God. And I was telling Larry and Becky, my cousins, Ryan and his wife Joy, are missionaries as well. And they joyfully serve God. And I watch how God has blessed them with five beautiful children. But see, they give a sacrifice every day. But see, also, when we change, our thinking has to change. Our behavior and communication must change. See, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 how we think. We're supposed to think on things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, the Bible says, think on these things. So right now, I want you to focus for just a moment on what you think about daily. Do you know that what you think about is what you become? It's true. It really is. When I started seeing myself as a new creature in Christ, I started seeing this new guy with a smile on his face. I had people coming to me going, "We don't even know you. You never smiled before. You didn't like nobody. And now you're happy." And I said, "I love people." My thinking has changed. I am moved with compassion when I see people who are hurting. And you know, in my job, I've told you this before, in my job at the funeral home, I deal and serve families that are in a time of deep grief and crisis. And sometimes I've had to go and pick up people that I know very well, the past. And I have to think to myself, Lord, what can I do to minister to those people today? Also, in the words that I speak, Lord, how can I build somebody up today? Well, you know what I can say? I can say, Effie, thank you that you serve the Lord and you play the piano. You're here faithfully every Sunday. She's 28 years old, and she's here every Sunday. No, I take, what, 90? 90? She, well, yeah, so she's here all the time. And when they have the rummage sale, these ladies, everybody gets involved, and they do things. They serve the Lord, so thank you. So see, when I tell people, thank you for serving the Lord, Larry and Becky, thank you for what you do. Thank you for serving God in these countries. And the rest of you, thank you for what you do for God. What we speak makes a big difference in people's lives. Do you know how beautiful you really are? And I want to be the first to tell each and every one of you that you are blessed. God has a purpose for your life. And you young ladies here, God has a purpose for each and every one of you. And what you should start doing, and I know your parents probably do this, is they're directing you and guiding you in the way that the Lord wants you to go. Follow the Lord. Open your heart to Him. And I'm telling you what, God's going to do the things that you might have thought were impossible. With God, all things are possible. And our commitments must change. When we become a Christian, we must commit to reading this word every day. We must commit to witnessing. We must commit to a life of prayer. We must commit to a life of righteousness. We must commit to a life of tithing and giving. We must commit to serving God in whatever capacity He has called us to serve. And secondly, we can change. Change is only possible through Christ. In the New Testament, in His ministry, Jesus changed the life of so many people. There was a woman who had an issue of blood, and she said to herself, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. I would be changed." The woman at the well who was a prostitute, Jesus came to her. She had had many husbands. She had had many adulterous affairs. And when Jesus came to her, He changed her life. She found a brand new love. And like I said a minute ago, we can't change on our own. He has to do it. See, when we come to Christ and we submit to Him, there's a transformation that happens within our heart. And it's got to start there. Now, I've seen some people who said they got saved and their life didn't change. And I don't know why. And I'm not going to judge them. But I'm going to love them and pray for them. But when that change takes place in the heart, that new man has come about, then we've got to tell people about it. If we have changed, we're going to share that with everybody we come in contact with. You know, like when you used to go to grade school, you used to have show and tell. How many of you had show and tell in grade school? Oh, I did. I couldn't wait. I mean, after Christmas time, I'd ask my mom and dad, "Oh, could I please take one of my gifts and show up for show and tell?" And they'd say, yeah, go. And I was excited. And especially when I got the new handheld Coleco football game. It used to be dotted lines. That was the most exciting thing to me in the world. And my folks got me one. And I took it and shared it at show and tell. I was so happy to tell the class about it. And in our lives, we've got to share Jesus with people. I mean, He's the greatest thing we've ever received. And we should be joyful. We should be bubbling over to tell people about Jesus Christ. I remember a mission trip I got to go on up to Blount, South Dakota. And we went up there, and the Blackfoot tribe lives on an Indian reservation, and there's people in this small community all around. And we got to go and do what's called backyard Bible clubs. Anybody ever heard of backyard Bible clubs? Oh, the Third Baptist Church Marion, we did those all the time. We even did them here in Southern Illinois. And we saw people get saved, and when we would go to a community, you didn't know anybody. And at the end of that 2 weeks, boy, you felt like you was part of the family. You had a connection. And I remember the morning we left, I cried. Everybody cried, basically. And the folks cried because we saw God do a change in that community. And I'm so thankful for every life that was ever touched by what God had us do there. And it was only by His power and His glory that we were able to go and do these things. But we saw people's lives transformed. I've been in places where I've seen people instantly healed when they were prayed for. I've seen people who were going through some burdensome times that God just took the load and the weight off of them. And it was all possible because of God. When we evaluate what we think we need to change in our lives, what type of change do we usually think of? What type of change do you think of? Well, you know, my grandmother used to tell me this. She would say, "You sweep your own porch before you go to your neighbor's house and sweep theirs. I was like, wow. Because I used to tell my grandma what someone else was doing. And she'd say, now, wait a minute. And she told me the reason why she said that. She said, son, you need to take care of your own self before you go worrying about somebody else. The Bible says we must remove the plank or the beam of wood from our own eye before we go help somebody else with something smaller. It's in God's Word. Help me, Lord, to change. And I told you a couple weeks ago what I preached on when I was preaching on God's on forgiveness. There's been times, boy, I've gotten so aggravated at somebody. They've done me wrong, or they've done somebody I know wrong, and that unforgiveness come in and it causes separation. So I ask the Lord to help me each and every day. Thirdly, God wants us to make changes to our hearts. Our hearts are important to God. And I want all of us to really take this in. What is the heart? The heart is the soul of the man. It's the foundation of our thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. God wants our heart to be right with Him, and not just the outward appearance and action, but what's in the heart. God wants it to be different. See, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you brought Him into your soul and into your life, and you made Him Lord. And He wants that change to come from within that heart. You know, it was tough. When I first became a Christian, I remember the things I was involved in, and they weren't good. Now, I don't have one of these testimonies, you know, where I was into drugs and drinking and I went to prison and all this. I don't have one of those testimonies like that. And I'm thankful that I don't. I never did drugs. I never did, you know, do anything bad. I was just a hateful person. I didn't like no. And I just, all I could do is I look back on my life and I look back at what I was, and it makes me sick. It does. It makes me sick. You know, a sinful life should be sickening to us. Our heart should really mourn and weep for people who are in these situations. Our hearts are drawn to people through God's love. God's love helps us to see each person through the heart. You know what God, you know how God looks at each and every one of us? He looks at us through the blood of Jesus, and He sees somebody who's cleansed. He already sees the righteousness that Christ provided. And that's what we need to do. When we are ministering to people, whatever we're doing, witnessing, serving in some capacity, we have got to look at these people, and we have to know that at one time in our life, we were without Christ. And we have to know what we once were and how we've changed, so we can share that, because it helps us to love people a lot deeper. And I've told churches, people in churches that I've gone to for the first time, I tell them I love you. And I've had people go, well, how can you love me? You don't even know me. Well, if I love God, which I do, then I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've told you, I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care how rich or poor. I don't care if they've had a bath or haven't had a bath in a few months. You know what? I have hugged people who haven't had a bath in a few months. But that's not what I concentrated on. What I saw was the heart that they had. And I've known some people who go to church, who live poorly, who don't have a lot of nothing, but all I'm telling you, they've got a rich love of Jesus, and they may not bathe regularly or properly, but that's not what I look at. My heart sees a good person who loves the Lord and makes it evident in their own life. And lastly, change needs to come today within our churches. Do you know that God put us here to have fellowship with one another? But that's not all that we're supposed to have fellowship with. We are supposed to have fellowship with other people that we minister to. We're supposed to get outside of these walls, and we are supposed to tell others about Jesus. We are to have vacation Bible schools and invite the kids and all that come around and share the love of Jesus, because when you reach the kids in church, you know what that what happens there? It goes from the kids to the parents. And then you get the parents to come to church. But we've got to change within our churches. We have got to have a burning desire to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord with gladness. And that we will be willing to go where God calls us to go. And do it without griping and complaining. Or putting limitations on God. Well, God, I'll go do this, but I want this in return. That ain't it. We should say, God, I'll go. You know, God's been dealing with me. I told Larry this morning, God's had a burning desire on me to start traveling and preaching. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's been in my heart. So, I was afraid there for a while because I don't like to fly. Number one, I used to say if God wanted me to fly, He would put wings on me and a beak and made me a bird. And I said, He didn't, so I'm staying out of the air. And I made that my crutch for not wanting to go travel to other countries and preach if that's what He wanted. And for a long time, I've been held back by that fear. So I finally took my wife. My wife got a hold of me one night. She said, What are you thinking about? She said, you've been staring out that window. And I said, I've been wrestling with this for quite a long while. I've been wrestling with it. And I poured my heart out and I cried. I said, I'm afraid of flying. I'm always afraid that plane's going to crash in the water. I'm going to become shark food. And she laughed at me and she goes, are you kidding me? She goes, if God calls you to go somewhere, don't you think He's going to get you there safely if He wants you to go and minister there? The light came on just like that. And like Laura said, where God sends you, He'll provide.
Yeah.
He will provide. So I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to preach, I will go. If it's to another country, I'll go there and take your word. If it's right here in the United States of America to preach revivals in these cities and towns around the 50 states we have, I'll go. But you send me and you make the way. And I'm not asking God for term limits or anything. I'm not asking God for this, this, and this in return by submitting and surrendering. It's all or none. So I'm giving all to God. Because I want this heart to be a heart that serves the Lord with gladness.
All
right. You know, I'm so thankful that God put this sermon on my heart this morning. Because we got to change. We have got to let the outside world know that we are Christians. And you know how some people will ever read a Bible? You ever heard the term that sometimes you're the only Bible that people will ever read? Well, I heard that all my life. Lord, I want my life to be a Bible for people to read. That's what I want. I don't want nothing else but to serve the Lord. That's my heart's desire. And I don't want any other way. So Lord, I pray that God, You change us today. Heavenly Father, I just ask God this morning that we will look at our own lives and our own hearts, Father. And I pray, God, that we will submit to You and that You will change us, dear God. And Father, help us to love those who need to make changes. Even those people who might be a burr under the saddle to us. Let us love them with a loving heart and embrace them, God. Because, Father, if we are the only Bible that someone will ever read, then let Your Word explode out of me, Father. And let Your Word go forward, Father God, in power and in truth. Father, as we go into this time of invitation, I pray if someone here needs to make a decision, I pray, God, they'll do that. If they need to get saved, I pray that today would be the day they get saved. If there's something they need to let go of, that, Father, they'll let go of it today. And we thank You and love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.